Might be somebody else who looks at him. Like, Sean Payton's won a Super Bowl, but he said, I just don't think this guy's good anymore. I want Bo Nix in there.
Yeah, it probably does, Chris,
I think, but it matters for Mike that he's won one, and he's been to another one, and he probably should have two.
Yeah, Justin Fields did not play a good game yesterday, but when the game was on the line, he orchestrated a touchdown drive at the end of the game, and if his defense gets the job done, then we're talking about an ugly win, and hey, Fields didn't play well, but he was clutch again. He got it done late. He delivered
which
when he
know,
needed to.
Which we know Mike Tomlin used to espouse as a major virtue of Kenny Pickett's.
Yes. Quarterbacks, period. I mean, how many games did Ben Roethlisberger have early in his career that looked like that, where the numbers weren't good, but he pulled something out of his ass at the end of a game?
Many.
Yes. So
different era, but yeah, many. I think they're going to go
bench
to him.
A quarterback?
I don't think they should, though.
That's what I mean. Is he going to bench a quarterback because his defense didn't get the job done?
I think he's going to bench a quarterback under the auspices of all along he still was like keeping the light on for Russell Wilson, and now that they've lost two straight, he has adequate cover to do it. Now, like the Dan Orlovskys of the world already, I can tell you, are not going to agree with this move. We'll see. If there are a decent amount of people, because wouldn't you say the majority of the national media seemed to think that Justin Fields should start even when it was up in the air?
I thought so.
Okay,
I thought like he had won a lot of people over.
Orlovsky was like a loud cheerleader for go with Justin Fields. This should be an interesting question here. If Mike goes back to Russell Wilson here, a player that most of the national media didn't think should have the job, what's going to happen? It's the immovable force versus the or the immovable object versus the irresistible force. We only praise
the head
coach.
They'll move the goalpost. They'll blame it on somebody else. They'll say the offensive coordinator made the decision, or the GM, or the owner, or something, just to let Tomlin
yes.
off the hook.
Yes,
we sat here last week at this time, and one of the things we were sensing from Steelers fans was people aren't as pissed about this loss because they were encouraged by what they saw from Justin Fields. Fields came through enough in the second half where it took a lot of the sting out of the Colts loss. And now one game later, you want to just throw the dude out? You want to just say, ah, hell, the hell with it. We need a spark that bad in week six?
I've seen a lot of people who are crowing about it's Russ time. It's time to get a real quarterback.
Oh, I know. I put a poll question out. Russ won. Over 50% of people want Russell Wilson. Donnie, are you one of them?
I would stick with Justin Fields for at least one more game. I think if it's another game where the offense is slow out of the gate, he doesn't play well. I mean, it was an ugly first half for him, even though maybe the final numbers look better than what they actually were.
I agree with that.
If it's another game like that and they are gritting their teeth to beat a team like Vegas, who is in absolute disarray, they have no idea who they want to play quarterback there. Although if they play Minshew, the Steelers might be in trouble. If they lose that game, I think they're absolutely going to pull the plug on this. But they also have to be careful with the way that it's handled. If you go to Wilson and then he's bad,
then you can't go back to him if you give it back to Fields.
Right.
It's Fields' job.
You're going to give it back to Justin Fields. I think that's that.
You know who else?
You ride and die with him.
You know what else they have to be careful with from that same standpoint, Donnie? I think other than Pickens, who's mad at everybody all the time if he's not getting the ball, I think that team would rather play for Fields, like the offense. I think those guys respect and like him. That's always what we've heard about him, even in Chicago. People really liked him. Guys rallied behind him. We know that Wilson does not really have that effect on people, necessarily. And so I think that there are going to be some people, even though they know the offense hasn't put up a ton of points, who like Fields personally, and it might be tough for them to go, ah, yes, here comes the guy going win the seventh. I can't wait to play for him. That should be fun. So I think he's going to be on the razor's edge with a lot of the guys on that offense.
Pickens and Najee might feel that way, though, just because they're coming off bad games.
By the way,
and they're ready for somebody else, even though I don't think it's going to make a difference for them. But knowing how moody they are, they might just say, yeah, we were saying nice things about Justin Fields before, but the hell with that. I want my numbers.
Funny thing about Pickens was I guess I'm an idiot. I had said numerous times, even though he didn't have any touchdowns, his body language was pretty good through these first four games. I just saw a Warren Sharp cut up come through my timeline of like half of his routes run. Didn't notice this little Easter egg, Donnie. On the all-22, when he lets the third and four ball go right through his hands, who is the man in the white sweatshirt literally throwing his arms up in disgust 10 feet away? Mike Tomlin. Like, obviously fuming. And he should have been, that he dropped an easy one.
Here is Monty on the fan. Hello, Monty.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Hey, man.
I can't believe what I'm hearing. You guys are upset at George Pickens for being passionate about playing this game. Not only is he one of our most talented players on the field.
If he's passionate, then he should run every play hard, Monty.
Especially routes where he's running the route. He's not run blocking. He's actually in a route, and he's going 70% speed, man.
Okay, well, let's say that is the case.
It is. Like, you can watch it on film. People are putting it out there on social media. You can. I'm not guessing at this. I'm watching it with my own two eyes right now.
Okay, I'm giving you that. But what I'm also saying is when you're not scheming him open and you're not even giving him the looks that he deserves, of course, at some point, just as well as he's upset, the whole city is mad right now. So, I mean, I'd rather him be upset and maybe take a playoff here and there, but it really never happens. We complained about him blocking last season, but we haven't heard
What never happens?
I don't see him taking plays.
There was a cross. Somebody put this play out there, Monty, from yesterday. They ran a crosser that was very obviously designed for him as the primary option. He's going through it at like 75% speed, and then Fields, the throw from Fields is almost impossible because Pickens isn't trying to separate, man.
Is that the one where he dropped it on the third down, I think?
No, it was a different one. Like it was after he had been benched. They brought him back in, and it was on the drive that put them ahead, 17-13. They ran a play very specifically for him, and he just ran it at like three-quarter speed.
I don't think there's any innocent parties here, but to make it out like the guy's a victim is absolutely ridiculous, man.
I agree with that.
I'm definitely not doing that.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You literally called in and said, here we go again, ganging up on George Pickens. He's playing like crap, man. He is. Hold on a second.
Okay.
He had an ass fumble last week where he was carrying the football like a friggin' loaf of bread, and it cost the Steelers points. And you're going to call in and accuse us of ganging up on the guy? Come on now.
I am, and this is another case of last season we were talking about. He's not blocking. He doesn't block. He's one of the toughest blocking receivers that we have.
He's real tough when he pulls a guy's helmet off when it's the last play of the game. He looks like a real tough guy then. Just to make sure I hear you right, you think he's playing good football right now? Just so I hear you right. You think he's doing a good job?
I do.
You do? Okay.
I do. The problem I think that we're having is coaching. We're throwing where there's no pre-snap motion.
There could be multiple guilty parties here. Yes, you're right about that.
You're benching your star player. You guys have a commercial on your channel which says it's like benching your star player and losing the game.
Obviously,
you feel the same way.
I just said that the coaching deserves blame here. But you can't call in and say, yeah, I don't care that the guy doesn't run hard. I don't care that he checks out. I don't care that he doesn't act like he's involved. How can you?
I'm not saying that.
Yes,
I just think that you're holding him to an unfair standard because...
Unfair standard to try on every play? It's the NFL,
Monty, here's what I have a problem with. CeeDee Lamb is not a...
What are you talking about?
In that game, CeeDee Lamb was pissed at Dak Prescott on the interception Prescott threw where it was like, what are you doing, man? CeeDee Lamb has accomplished a lot more in this sport so far than Pickens has at this level. And yet when Ferguson's got the ball, the tight end's rumbling, there's CeeDee Lamb, who was ticked off earlier in the game, blocking two different Steelers because he's actually putting forth effort. I'm not seeing that from George Pickens, nor am I really seeing close to that. I'm seeing a guy who's really ticked off at his team and his coaches, who's showing it on the field, and that's unacceptable. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's also unacceptable to bench your star player halfway through the game. And I'm pretty sure if CeeDee Lamb would have got benched halfway through the game, we would have had some type of fallout behind that.
CeeDee Lamb wouldn't have done something to get himself benched. That's the difference. There's the difference right there.
I just can't. I'm sorry. This is not the day you can call in and say George Pickens is being done wrong. Let me be very clear. These are not hard to find. You go search his name on Twitter, and you will find these cut-ups. There are plays that were clearly run for him where he's lollygagging.
I think you can call in and say that the coaches are not handling him right, but then you can't just leave it there.
The player has to have some agency for their own behavior.
Of course, he's got personal accountability. For sure. Here's Mr. Old School. Hello, Old School.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm going to give you my three hits and show you why I disagree with you guys in regards to whether we should put Russ Wilson in or not. Okay. First point I want to make to you all is Arthur Smith, he came in and everybody said the one thing about him, he's going to run his offense regardless. Well, look at what he's running with who we have. Harris, he's running a zone scheme offense where Harris cannot run zone scheme because he can't see holes to cut back in. He can't run stretch plays. So Najee is giving his O-line backaches because he's running up their backs instead of into holes. The second point I want to make to you is that last Friday, I talked to you all about Smith, 60 to 70% of his playbook is play action under the center. But everybody knows that Fields, including them, cannot play from under the center. So my friends were arguing with me, so we watched it last night. He had 4 to 5 plays under center. Every last one of them were handoffs except for two. And the two that weren't was a bootleg run by him and an errant pass that went who knows where because he can't pick defenses back up when he turns his back to the game. And that's what Russell Wilson can do. Russell Wilson is the second-rated comeback player quarterback in history. He also has almost the most fourth-down comebacks in history. And the other problem is the fact that we got these terrible receivers to throw to, but the one thing Russ does do that we wanted to emphasize in his offense was the tight end. We paid him all this money, and he's not getting any throws, and he is open.
Russ doesn't throw the ball to the middle of the field ever. He was like did it less than Kenny Pickett last year.
Right. Listen, Russ had 24 touchdowns and 4 picks last year. He actually had 26 and 8.
I like your second point. I don't see how Russell Wilson makes the Najee Harris bad run scheme fit any better, though.
But because when he goes into play action, it's going to open up. Everybody knows when Fields goes under the center, so half the playbook is already cut off because Fields can't go under center. Right. And so when he does go under center, everybody knows it's a run. But when Russ goes under center, you don't know what's happening. So you don't have to go.
Your point about Najee was that they just run the wrong running scheme for him, that they're a zone scheme and he's more of a power straight ahead guy.
He is. But what I'm saying is that at least if you do the play action, it will freeze up those linebackers that will allow
Mr. Old School, ultimately, I think you're going to get your wish because I think there's going to be a sentence from Tomlin tomorrow in his presser. He's going to get asked about it first thing, and he's going to say, we're prepping as if Russ is our starter.
Well, Russell has been getting healthier and healthier, and I think he's now at the point where he is healthy enough to play. That's going to be a Mike Tomlin decision. I think at some point in time here, it's not going to surprise me if they turn to Russell Wilson. I don't know whether that's next week or the week after. They've lost 2 straight games now, the Steelers have, and that's not all on Justin Fields at all. When you're winning, you're not making a quarterback change. When you're losing, that opens the door to discussion and conversation about, is it worth it to go to a guy like Russell Wilson? And I just think that that's a conversation they're going to have. I don't know ultimately what they're going to do, but Russell's at the point now where he was considered the guy when they first traded him. Mike Tomlin anointed him as the starter. He hurt his calf. Justin took over and played well. They won. Now they've lost 2 in a row. Now Russell's healthier. So there are some elements at play here that I think lead to a discussion that I don't know ultimately what they'll decide to do, but I do think at some point in time, Russell's going to get a chance.
All right, so that's Adam Schefter on McAfee. He's healthy enough to play. So we'll see what we hear from Mike Tomlin tomorrow. Who should he dub the starter? I think all of us are saying stick with Fields for another week. First caller up said go to Russ. By the way, Verizon, the official 5G network of the Steelers, is treating deserving veterans to lunch with Cam Hayward. Head to a Verizon store by October 20th to nominate a vet. No purchase necessary. 18 plus to enter. Visit lunchwithcamhayward from Verizon.com for details. People in my mentions saying Johnny the Barber should be nominated. He is a vet, and he is an Ohio State
guy. He would actually mark. He'd be a huge mark out moment for him,
Mr. Hayward.
I could just imagine the meeting now. He would love that. He would legitimately get a huge charge out of that.
Here is Billy in Blonox. Hello, Bill.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Yep.
I think Mr. Old School was pretty spot on. If Russ is healthy, you play him. And here's the other thing. I'm not a Coach Tomlin fan, but I do believe Omar Khan should have we need a better team assembled. In the offseason, we knew we had Pickens, and that was it. There were a ton of guys out there, DJ Moore, Cooper. Those guys, Metcalf was even rumored. Then we get Wilson in the draft. He gets hurt early, and then there's Ayuk still there. I mean, you got to get two wide receivers.
Had two wide receivers, though. They traded Johnson willingly. I think Mike was sick of him and ready to have him out of town, so that's partly on Mike. But If you're going to do that, you've got to have a contingency plan, knowing you are Billy. Well, you're trading your number two receiver at that point.
I don't want to gloss over though your first point. You said you have to go back to Russell Wilson. Can you tell me why?
I said if Russ is healthy, you go back to Russ.
He is healthy. Yes. I think now everyone's reporting it.
But why?
Russ won the battle in camp.
Okay,
right?
And Tommy Maddox won the battle against Ben, but that doesn't mean anything.
Well, I think you go to the leadership here. I think the team needs leadership. I don't think they're led by the coach.
Billy, did Russ really win the battle in camp? Did Russ actually win the battle in camp, or did he just get anointed the starter before camp? Because he barely practiced, or he played, like, what, one preseason game?
Also, Billy, with all due respect, I mean, you talk to guys like Richard Sherman. I don't know that Russell Wilson was exactly exuding the kind of leadership that you're talking about. I don't think he's always the kind of like...
Those Legion of Boom Seahawks think that he robbed them of a Super Bowl because he and Pete Carroll wanted to throw the ball on the goal line. They like, that's what they actually believe, and they're probably right.
Okay, but you guys saw Justin Fields play all last year, correct?
Yeah, but it wasn't in Pittsburgh.
I mean, we kind of knew what we were...
I mean, he was much better player through four games here. And really, even if you take all five of these games in balance, he's been better than he was in Chicago.
I'd go to Russ and I'd bring him in on some packages.
All right, let me ask you something, Billy. If you'd go to Russ, I have a question then. If you'd go to Russ, how many games does he get to show you that he can do his thing? If he loses two in a row and doesn't look good, then what?
You go to Fields.
But after that point, Russ is done at that point. Yeah, if you're 3-4, Russ is,
that's it. And then maybe Kyle Allen gets a look because everyone was smitten by that nice pass. Donnie almost gave him a game ball.
Kyle Allen, the spark plug.
For that little.
The Steelers would have won the game. I would have given Kyle Allen the third game.
It was weird. It was bizarre. Just not that this is the point. It absolutely looked like it ignited Fields when he came back
it did.
There.
I
like,
agree with you.
He looked like, crap, this guy just threw
he
one down the
seam. He was working the middle of the field better.
Right.
Van Jefferson all of a sudden wasn't invisible anymore.
Right.
Here's Jeff in the car. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
I'm going to say right now that I think you stick with Fields. We're seeing it. With all these older court, right now you take him off the field. That it's possibly your best offensive weapon on offense, in my opinion. You take away the run pass option. The other guy's got to get his head out of you know what. We've seen it time. You just said it 5 minutes ago. Tommy got sick of Deontay Johnson and his antics. What? How much more is this guy going to do? That you're going to put him on the bench.
You know what?
Granted,
he's
their best receiver.
I know. I
give you that. But, I mean, he knows he's not coming out because he knows that's all they got.
So let's go through this. They gave up on Martavis Bryant because they were frustrated with his behavior. They gave up on Antonio Brown, even though he was one of the greatest wide receivers of all time because of his behavior. They ended up making a great trade, but they gave up on Chase Claypool because evidently he was driving them nuts. They gave up on Deontay Johnson because of locker room turmoil and getting on coaches' nerves. And I'd even throw Juju in there because by the end, him saying the Browns is the Browns and dancing on logos and stuff, I think they were ready to be done with that. It's like all of their wide receivers, Chris, that have come through here in the last almost 10 years now, it's ended almost identically. And I think you can make an argument, like, you tolerate more with AB because he's
one
a transcendently good player. You can make an argument that the way Pickens is acting is every bit as bad as Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster.
The only difference with Pickens is there's been nothing off the field. Like, Chase Claypool kicked a guy's head in a parking lot fight.
Well, there wasn't anything with Deontay.
No,
off
there
the
wasn't
field.
Either. There wasn't either. And Juju's was not like anything criminal or anything. It was just him kind of being goofy with the bike and all that other stuff. I guess the thing about it is that here's the weird common thread I can think of. Juju played with Ben, but the only one of those guys where it went bad, even though your future Hall of Fame quarterback was there, was AB, and they just were at loggerheads eventually, and they were always two strong personalities. It leaves open the door of, you draft all these high-end wide receivers, at least talent-wise, but if you don't put them in a system with a quarterback that actually showcases their talents, it does make some sense that they're going to get frustrated, especially Pickens right now.
But a bunch of the guys I named played with a great quarterback. It's like they go out.
I should say for like long chunks of their career.
But it just seems like they make a conscious decision as an organization. And the only common thread left here is Mike, because Kevin's gone and Omar's been promoted.
Yeah.
They make a conscious decision. Okay, this guy might have some red flags.
It's like the Pirates when they were trying to pitch ground balls as their thing, and they felt like they had the sinker ball was the area in the margins where they could acquire guys, quote unquote, on the cheap and make them really good. And I think Mike has always looked at wide receivers who have big talent but maybe big attitude issues and said, I can get through to this player like no other coach can. Bring them to me. We will get the best out of them on the field, and I'll keep them in line off of.
Donnie Football Debriefs brought to you by Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington. As an aside, we have the Tigers and Guardians up. The dude that catches for
Jake
the
Rogers.
Tigers looks like he'd be part of your troop that's headed to Vegas for the Steelers game.
Oh, wait,
Sunday.
Is that like kind of the husky guy with the mustache?
Yeah, he looks like he could be in the movie Tombstone saying, put a cowboy hat on him and give him like a six shooter, and you go, I'm your Huckleberry.
He would have been the guy, was it, I think the first major league, who was the guy that played for the Yankees?
Not Jack Parkman,
no,
he's
Parkman
in the second
was
one.
The second one. The first guy was the Yankees,
yeah,
dude,
I can
just
know.
Like big guy, had a mustache, he was a triple crown player.
They didn't give him a memorable name, I feel like, in the movie. Parkman's the one everyone
remembers. Looks like a guy that Donnie would share a room with in Vegas at their Airbnb, and you'd get pissed because he's like hotboxing your room with farts.
He looks like the kind of guy that has gone to a brothel. Like, he just looks like a guy who uses a wash basin and a spittoon.
By the way, somebody was telling me over the weekend along those lines, on the brothel lines, that in Germany,
yeah,
they have saunas that are co-ed.
Like that idea is you're going there to probably have...
No, I don't... It's just so much freer there that you go to, say, a workout, a gym like Donnie does, and you walk in and the women that are in the sauna are naked just like you are.
I feel like there'd be a lot of Elaine Bennis moments there. Guy just, oh, I tripped. Ah!
Yeah.
Well, normally it's like the old dudes that go in naked.
Oh,
my God. I normally
go
in there with like, I'll still go in there with a hoodie and shorts on.
And it looks like they got two grapefruit with a old piece of gum wrapped around it for balls just hanging out there, man. It's so gross. And there's more people need to talk about this because it is an epidemic. The old guys who don't give an F that are going in saunas, I don't want to see your old hairy balls, man. But you're just putting them in everybody's face.
So I went back to the gym, like the actual gym, for the first time in a while last week and got enough of a workout in that I was like, all right, I need to shower. And where my locker was, where I had my stuff, 10-foot walk to the shower area, right? I am minding my own business. I'm going to go. They have like this little curtained off space in the shower where you can like basically take your like boxers off and then have your towel hung up and no one can see it because it's between curtains. So that's what I'm doing. I grab my towel. I turn to look and I just saw what Pony is describing.
Mm-hmm.
You turn to look and then you just immediately turn your head back around. You do the Grandpa Simpson. I waited until about a 10 count and then was able to proceed safely. But I just don't get it.
I don't think they care. I think they probably have the philosophy like, hey, I don't have a lot of time left. I'm just going to do what I want.
Two grapefruits with a piece of gum wrapped around
it? Yeah, that's what it looks like. Anyways, Donnie.
Those guys are living free.
The Debrief is brought to you by Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington.
The Debrief, October 7, 2024. I put out a Twitter poll of myself this morning. Some interesting results. Now, you guys will know immediately who these guys are. I was surprised when some people in the replies weren't quick to it. Some were. Some actually did not know who the two coaches were. Just listing like the blind resume, like one of those deals. So Coach A,
mm-hmm.
170, 104 and 2, 11 and 11 in the playoffs, won Super Bowl. Coach B, 176, 102 and 2. 8-10 in the playoffs, won Super Bowl. We all know who the two coaches are here.
Yes.
The two coaches who faced off last night,
and
McCarthy and Tomlin.
And who did your listeners or your followers pick?
Coach A, Mike McCarthy, with 80.6% of the vote.
Do you think your listeners knew exactly who they were voting for, though?
So, I mean, just under 800 votes as of now. Like, I wondered how many people vote. I mean, I always do wonder how many people who actually voted knew who each coach was. There were some people in the replies like, oh, who's that other coach? Obviously, one's Tomlin. Some people question if it was Cowher, if Cowher was the other one. Some people thought it might have been Sean Payton.
So basically anyone that's like a contemporary who has one Super Bowl and they were just trying to rattle off the whole list.
Yeah, and I was surprised that it was this lopsided. Now, maybe the people who voted were smart to it and thought, oh, well, the guy who won last night is Coach A. I'm voting for him.
I think people probably knew that Coach B was Tomlin because of the losing playoff record.
It's also just so wild to me, the perception of the two guys. Poor McCarthy, his ass is just on the hot seat every single year, and the other guy is lauded like he's going to be a coach for life
in politics right now, gaslighting, or I guess in any arena where you know something to be true, essentially, and people just continue to tell you that it's not, that like what you think to be true is just not even remotely real. That's how I feel when I criticize, or anyone here criticizes Tomlin, I think, on obvious merits. And then you hear national pundits and opinion makers, or last night the broadcast team, talking about these problems of his like they are virtues. The only thing I can think of is this, Pony. Guys like Collinsworth are such like old football guys, even though Collinsworth obviously knows the modern game. They just love that crap about Tomlin. They just love the way he talks about football. They love how obsessed he genuinely is.
Oh, they
love,
I mean, people.
McCarthy, rather. Did you see Gentile tweet out McCarthy looking at his play sheet, and the other side of the picture is just Big Jim's menu? Like,
should have been Archie's.
Yeah, McCarthy in a nutshell.
They fawned over what he said at halftime. We're kicking our own butts, and they acted like that was the greatest quote, like something William Shakespeare had come up with.
Even though that was completely false, I think it was the other team that was kicking
its own butt. They were very fortunate to only be down three at the half.
Absolutely.
They were extremely fortunate.
Reminded me a little bit, now this is a game they won, but last year, same time, remember the gaffes that were made by the Ravens in the Week 5 game, the Steelers won.
Good call.
The Cowboys should have won the game by 2 scores. They left at least 9 points on the field.
There's a big difference, though, between that Baltimore. I understand you're saying aesthetically it looked the same. The big difference is that quarterback is an MVP, and you're the Steelers with second-year Kenny Pickett. Yes, they had Dak Prescott, but their best player is Micah Parsons and didn't suit up. They had a guy with 5 pick-sixes last year who didn't suit up. They have DeMarcus Lawrence, who is not quite maybe Cam Hayward career resume, a notch or two below.
He's a very good defensive player.
Did not suit up.
They were very shorthanded. They aren't good to begin with running. They're horrible running the ball. They had a lot working against them, and they could have blown the Steelers' doors off.
You know what was a really damning play in that game? We talk about the play the Steelers ran where
the
they
third
gave
and eight to Schlemkin.
Yeah, Blumpkin.
I don't know what the hell the guy's name is.
I knew you were going to get there eventually.
The Cowboys basically ran the same play late in the game, and they got like 20 yards on it.
Are you talking about the one where Dowdle went left?
It
and
was
then
like third and six or seven. You
know, I don't know if it's the exact same play, because I think the one I'm thinking of was earlier, maybe in the fourth quarter, but there's one where Queen is out there trying to string the play out. Dowdle puts 1 foot in the ground and goes by Queen, who, another just brutal game for him. He got about 20, so maybe it is the same play. Just, man, when is it going to change? Because the actors in the movie change, and the director never does.
Donnie, thank you. Here's Damon in Somerset on the Fan. Hello, Damon.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yep.
I wanted to talk about Mike Tomlin in general real quick. I want to give a quick example. I just looked before I called in. The past three seasons, the Cowboys went 12-5, no playoff win, and you hear a lot about should McCarthy have a job or not. And then you look at the Steelers' record, no playoff wins. It's like, what does that say about Mike Tomlin?
Well, I mean, I think that the talk about should he lose his job for McCarthy, for example, is partly a function of who the owner of that team is. I do think that colors the opinion of Tomlin in terms of how he gets discussed. Everyone just knows that Art Rooney wants to be known more as the owner who doesn't fire coaches than the owner who actually holds his coach's feet to the fire.
The rebuttal is also Mike McCarthy as Dak Prescott, who's a good quarterback, and the Steelers are trying to find their next franchise quarterback. But again, that comes back on Tomlin, that he wanted Kenny Pickett drafted in the first round, and he kicked him to the curb after 2 years and created this situation with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Damon?
Right. My only, and I agree, my only thing I would ask on top of that then is, if you look at, for example, back during the Killer Bee era with Ben, Brown, Bell, all those guys. And he's like, he still couldn't. I mean, he got a couple playoff wins, but, you know, one was Miami with only field goals. The other one, Fontez Burfict handed it us. It's just the frustrating aspect. And I understand trying to, you know,
How about this one? How about this one to your point? Sure. How many starting quarterbacks have the Steelers beaten in the playoffs since they lost to Mike McCarthy
like
in the Super Bowl?
Like that team's intended starter.
Yes.
I can't say for sure.
They beat McCarron in that Bengals game. They beat Alex Smith.
They beat Alex Smith on all field goals.
They beat Matt Moore. Bud Dupree almost killed him in the game where it was like below zero. Yeah.
They beat Matt Moore and A.J. McCarron.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you beat who's in front of you.
But
the point is they've lost to Tim Tebow, Blake Bortles, not just Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Tebow threw for 316.
Well, that I will say, now I think people obviously do not like Mike right now in this town. It's like at an all-time low. That is still, I will put on the record, a Dick LeBeau loss. Dick LeBeau said, let's play cover zero. This guy won't beat us. Whoops.